Welcome to Spirited Straight Talk, the podcast to help you thrive with the help of spirit. I'm Deb Shepherd, psychic medium, spiritual teacher, and author. Each week, I bring new insights to help you heal from loss, connect with spirit, and turn setbacks into triumphs. So let's get started. Welcome to another podcast. Today, we're going to talk about that feeling that we all have that we're in that deep pain and we have all this trauma, and we reach out to friends feeling I'm just not able to get through certain things. And have you ever felt that way? Well, today on Spirited Straight Talk, I'm here with my beautiful wife, Dana.
Hello.
And we're going to dive into a topic that we're actually pretty clear on a lot of this.
Yeah.
Because what we do is we help people really heal from old trauma. Mm-hmm. And what we talk about in our program is how we excavate to find those wounds. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we don't even realize that we're suffering or we're struggling or we're going through things. We're just not feeling good.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in our field talk about manifesting and creating a different life. But when you are feeling so sad and desperate and overwhelmed, it can be hard to figure out how to manifest or create a life you want. Mm-hmm. And then we meet those individuals that feel like they're constantly attracting, unfortunately, not on purpose, intentionally, but they have those things that keep happening to them. Mm-hmm. And we feel the pain in their heart. And as what we've talked about so much is our ancestral suffering, the things that are passed down from generation, and where, mm-hmm. Our ancestors continued patterns that we didn't know there's another way to kind of live or heal or go through that. The other point I want to kind of lean into is if we are causing unintentional pain and suffering to somebody else.
Yeah.
And, we don't use the word, we don't walk around going, I'm suffering, but we do understand that we feel something that doesn't make us feel good. And mm-hmm. we look at pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. There is and I've been on pharmaceuticals, so it's not like a bad thing or anything. Sometimes we need that bridge or things to help us through to navigate maybe some of the challenges that we're having in life. And we have a society that doesn't like to see us in pain. They want us to just like everything's okay. Yeah. So we do dump that in our bodies sometimes in order to navigate it. Were you going to say something? Sorry.
Yeah. Well, no, it's okay. I was just, as you're talking about suffering, you and I follow a lot of Buddhist teachings. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole premise of what Buddha teaches mm-hmm. in Buddhism is, that's why we're here, is to recognize suffering, to heal suffering. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a word that we use in our everyday life, but if you are familiar, everyone is familiar with seeing Buddha everywhere, but that is the premise of Buddhist teachings is to heal the suffering, to recognize it and heal it, right? Mm-hmm. So when you talk about that, I know not everybody uses that in their language every day, but it really is important to understand.
What you and I, and I want to talk a little bit about this too. When we don't realize that we're struggling, that we're in pain, that we have all this trauma and wounds, what happens so often is we project what we're going through on somebody else.
Yeah.
And so that's where the suffering really shows up, the pain shows up.
Yeah.
So where families, if it wasn't healed, it is passed on.
Yeah.
And we really had that come to light recently.
Which situation?
Yeah. And it's not that we weren't aware or we didn't realize it, but when we look back during the period of the time of the Dust Bowl where, that was a hard time for people. There was scarcity and struggling. And then my parents' generation after that, they believed you stayed in a job no matter what mm-hmm. until the time you retired. Because that loyalty, because their parents said there wasn't going to be a job. You can't put food on the table.
Right.
So when things began to change, people had this loyal view of things. Mm-hmm. And what happened is that there was a lot of struggles for these individuals that stayed in these companies, not shown that they were worthy, or they may have not gotten the retirement, or mm-hmm. just things that caused.
Yeah, they lived a certain way.
They weren't valued. And they would come home and then, maybe struggle with their families. Maybe there was addictions that also came through. Corporal punishment was also given. And children were told to seen and not be heard. And all of these belief systems cause people to shut down in a lot of ways. Well, as society has continued, we now talk about these things. We're more open about it. We look at having therapy. We try to change the way we move forward in life.
Yeah, and we're talking all the emotional pain that we carry.
Yeah, the emotional pain. Trauma, and I think that emotional pain causes health issues. It affects how we financially, you know, manifest money. I think it also takes an effect of our relationships and what we're able to create in life. Mm-hmm. But what happens is that we look where we currently are, not everything that's been passed down, or the fact that we're causing some pain to somebody else because we're hurting.
Right. That and whether it's intentional or unintentional, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, we're still causing suffering.
You and I are aware of this, but there's still times where I'm angry about something else and I'll take it out on you.
I know. I've experienced that. No, I'm vice versa.
Yeah, but we try to what we call hold space to provide an environment to say, okay, what really is this? What is really going on? And sometimes we don't know what's really deep inside of us. We don't realize that we're still carrying things. Mm-hmm. And when we are able to, you know, bring those things up for healing, all of a sudden it's like, wow, okay, now I understand why I'm ignoring certain things, or we have addictions in order to not look at having distractions in our life. People that get really busy and they think their life is really full, but they're really distracted.
Yeah.
And it's hard to meditate or be able to have a true intimate relationship. And I don't mean just sex. I'm talking about conversations and being vulnerable and things like that.
Yeah.
And I think people avoid relationships for that reason too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I think we see it often as you're talking about the whole getting distracted. We see it often when somebody is, you know, they've had trauma, they're in emotional pain, and they use things to distract themselves. So they're not really doing their healing work. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about the word of suffering or that emotional pain, we don't really know how to work through these things on a deep level so that that we can move forward more empowered. And, you know, so
I think there's two sides to this. As you were talking, I was thinking about the people that take their trauma and make it their identity.
Yep.
And they really love telling their story over and over and over and over because that becomes their worth and value. And to me, that's the victim instead of healing
the archetype.
The archetype, yeah. So we take on the victim like, well, this is what happened to me. And so that suffering becomes expanded because they realize that it has some sort of power behind it to give them something that they don't feel like they can get in another way. Mm-hmm. So that attraction is, if I'm a victim over and over and over, if I feel like I have this trauma and it's really, really big, and boy, you got to hear my story.
Wear it like a badge of honor.
Yeah, badge of honor.
Yeah.
What we like to teach is to say, if you heal that, you have more value than your trauma, those wounds. What I've seen, and I think you probably agree, is when we don't heal that and it's a badge of honor, we cause other people suffering and we actually build the wall up.
Yeah,
we've talked about
that. Yeah.
That you build this wall up because you don't want anyone into that space.
You have to protect yourself.
Yeah.
What are you really protecting versus you're just keeping people out versus being in your power and allowing? And there's this concept out there now. And I think Mel Robbins is great. She's awesome, but she's created this let them, like, you know, it's just a way of expressing that you let people do, let things happen. And you say it differently. You say allow. We just allow. Mm-hmm. We allow them to heal the way they need to heal, which is holding space. Mm-hmm. You're holding space for them and at the same time holding space for yourself, right?
And when you're in your power, going back to that, people in our world are very sensitive people. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, I'm an empath. I can feel everything. So they go into building the wall or doing the thing of protection. And I'm not in alignment with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, people, if that tool works for you. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's more about, well, if you've done your work and you're in your power, you don't take it on.
Right.
It's not yours to carry.
Yeah.
It is your reason for being there is to witness somebody, to support them, to be aware of where they are.
Right.
We always say don't go in their lane, right?
Yeah. Stay in your own lane.
Stay in your lane. And what happens with empaths or healers, they just want to go over there and fix it. And the reason why they want to fix someone else's suffering?
Distraction,
or because they're feeling it. And if you get better, my ego feels better that I helped you, and then they don't have to feel that, versus people don't change unless they have enough pain. I'm sorry, that's really how it is. Yeah. You know, we don't go on diets until we're uncomfortable in our clothing.
So let's tie this back to contracts.
Spiritual contracts.
Yeah, spiritual contracts, soul contracts. Mm-hmm. Part is what your whole coaching program is based on. Mm-hmm. So if we signed up for these lessons.
What was I thinking?
Before we came here. Mm-hmm. And this is the place we're in. And we're taking on these roles. How do we see that? And how do we shift that? You know, because part of this whole thing is that we have these contracts that we sign too, and then we get stuck in these ruts.
Absolutely.
Stuck is a word.
Well, you know, I like to use the word marinate. Like, you still have a choice.
Yeah, but how long do we marinate?
How much flavor do you want? So anyone that, you know, this might be a new concept that we believe in reincarnation. So if you don't believe in reincarnation, you can still apply what we're teaching, the lessons. So our belief system is Akashic records that before we incarnate, that we chose to come here and learn some really hard lessons.
Yeah.
And
for the evolution of our soul and our soul group.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people go, why was I wanting to learn that? And I think, well, as humans, we're always curious. We want to go further into space. We want to go further into the ocean. We are curious species. We really are.
So are our souls, right? Yeah.
Our souls are having a human experience, and we have these experiences for us to get more awareness, to become more enlightened, to shift. And what's it going to take to change? Mm-hmm. Most of us do not change because things are going well. And so
change when we're
suffering.
Yeah.
And so the
or emotional point, pain.
Emotional pain. So the bottom line is, when you're in that place, it's bringing to our attention, are you ready to change? And are you looking for other opportunities or choices? And as we talk about the perspective, you know, how do you find another perspective? Do you reframe things? Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this, and this excludes anyone who's lost a child. So I'm going to put that out there. It doesn't happen to you. It happens for you. But we say it as it happened to us. Mm-hmm. And if we can take that information and go, what was I thinking about learning here? Why does this keep happening? And we see the patterns. Mm-hmm. And when we keep seeing the suffering, we can decide that we are the story of the pain and suffering.
Right.
Or we can decide that we are the pioneer or the leader or the healer and the teacher. What archetype, what decision are we going to make to become a different person, to gain the knowledge that we came here to learn?
Which goes to awareness, is being aware of what archetype it's choosing the archetype you're going to wear to address what you have in front of you. And people don't really, they're more reactive than having that awareness. Like, oh, you know,
I think
they're more reactive because we're triggered. I'm going to, you know, I mean, that word really annoys me to the bone is, because we use our trauma as an excuse to be triggered. And not that we don't get that feeling or fight or flight or
freeze,
whatever's coming up. But whatever's coming up, take a second and look at it is what you teach. Mm-hmm. Like, slow down. Let's look at it. Let's find the wound so we can heal the wound, where people just walk around, oh, I'm triggered. You're triggering me. I'm triggered. Versus really looking at it.
You know, I'm laughing because that's what mindfulness is.
Yeah.
Mindfulness is stop and pay attention. What are you ignoring? Why, if this is happening to you and you are feeling that something else is taking control of your life,
Slow down.
Yeah. And we talk, one of the archetypes that is one of my favorites actually is the prostitute.
Why is that, Deb Shepherd?
You know, I think there are times that we are in situations that we're not feeling the same thing as somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, we're feeling, whether it's at work or it's with family or certain situations, where we want to have a voice. Mm-hmm. But if we go in as the prostitute and say, I'm not going to agree with anybody here, but I want to take care of myself so I don't get triggered or I don't go into trauma. But
so in other words, as you teach, is you don't go in as a warrior in for a battle. You go in as
the prostitute.
Prostitute, and instead of battling, you're just holding space for yourself.
You're just going, you know what? I'm not going to let this situation stay with me, because when we ruminate, oh my goodness, I could be really good at this. You know, I have some great tools that I stop my rumination, but we'll go into the conversation over and over and over, the email or what happened to us or what they said. And we hold on to that, and we call it e-coins. You just gave that person all your e-coins, all your
energy coins.
Your energy coins. The best way to do it is going, I'm not going to give you my energy. I'm going to take care of me and hold space for me, but you can do you. I'm going to do me. You do you.
You do you.
You do you. And I think it's helping people shift the awareness and to give them more mindfulness that you don't have to show up the same way. Yeah. And I hear people say, well, I'm just me. I'm just being me. And I'm like, yeah, but just being you that way is not working for you.
Right. You're showing up as a victim or
a victim.
Or
and
going into a battle.
People don't like that word.
They don't. They don't. Yeah.
And so can you then own it and just say, yeah, these are the things that kind of bother me that cause some pain. And do I want to carry that with me?
Right. Which I want to bring that whole let them theory back in because I hear this all the time. And you did have a student ask about this the other day. And that saying is resonating with people. And like I said, you say it differently. You say allow, you know, allow others to have their feelings, allow, hold space for them and allow them to do their thing, you know, without taking it on, without wearing what they're going through. You can have compassion and have empathy, but you don't have to wear what they're, you know, what they're going through. So in other words, wear your own archetype, not theirs.
I think there's a piece of that that we have that we want to be right. That's our ego.
So that ego.
I find a lot of people that have done a lot of deep work in spiritual work or, you know, therapy, whatever you want to align it with. But when you've done a lot of work and you see someone that is having a hard time and they're saying certain things and you can, you know, get the triggers, you can feel bad, or you take on the energy, is to remember that it's not your job to take your ego and fix that individual. And that's where you get into trouble. And that's where we actually cause more pain and suffering, because you're telling the person you're doing it wrong, one of the things I've said for years, if there's no money on the table, I'm not doing a reading. And it's not about the money. It's about creating boundaries. I don't need to get into your stuff. If you've hired me and we have that partnership, it's different. But most people just feel like if someone's telling you their story of pain, you have to immediately fix it.
Or hijack it.
Or hijack it.
With the comparison. Yeah. That's
the hijacking of like, well, let me tell you about my story. My story is worse than your story.
Oh, yeah.
You and I, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard. Yeah, well, your story's bad. My story is even worse than you. There's almost like this hierarchy when it comes to someone suffering.
Yeah.
Versus
just listen.
Just listen. Yeah. Just listen. Hold space. Yeah. And for people that haven't heard the term hold space, it just really means you just give them some love and light and compassion and be there and listen without putting your two cents in there. And that's hard for people.
That's true compassion.
True compassion.
Versus a comparison or a competition of
the other thing we talked about, and I want to dive in just a little bit on this, is when someone has hurt us and we're in that painful place, we're in that hurt space, our heart's hurting, our body's hurting, we're sad, we're really having a hard time, is, and this is the hard piece, if you've done some deep work, I think it might be a little easier, but I still get a lot of resistance about, can you find compassion for that other person's suffering, their pain, if they've caused you pain, can you look at why they're causing you pain? And that's the hard one.
Oh yeah. I mean, even students that have been in your classes for 5 years really struggle with that compassion for, we call it compassion for the perpetrator or compassion for somebody,
the teacher,
somebody who's showing up as your spiritual teacher,
The first one we get is resistance. Well, why should I find compassion for them?
I don't want to invite them to my table.
Do you invite them to the table? It's going to the depths of understanding that when you are creating an energy of that you've done a lot of work, you have what we call a higher vibration. And it's not, I don't like to go into the hierarchy. Yeah, I don't like that part, but you've done some work, you know, so you're feeling good. You feel like you're in your power. You're getting a lot of clarity. People that are struggling, that are in pain, that we call the word suffering, can project their stuff on you because guess what? They don't know where else to put it.
Yeah.
And they're probably hoping on some unconscious level.
Subconscious, yeah.
Subconscious level. Unconscious or subconscious? Unconscious is not, you're not alive. Subconscious level. That you are safe for them to reveal their suffering, mm-hmm. to reveal their pain. And when you realize that that is actually a gift, yeah. that they are able to feel safe enough with you to tell you these things or to go there, then you can start realizing that that's what you've been able to create in your life.
Yeah.
So I know that I hear this often. Well, everyone tells me all their problems. It's probably because you're creating a safe environment for them.
So do you feel like if you are that person that they are projecting it onto, that holding space for them is you're taking abuse from them? And this, I'm saying that because it came up in a class. And so just to kind of clarify that, holding space for somebody doesn't mean that you allow them, that you don't have boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to have to have boundaries. And it might be going, hey, here's the name of my therapist, or here's Deb Shepherd or whatever. I think there is a point of being there for somebody unless you feel like they're really taking advantage. You know, there's abuse. Mm-hmm. And early on, and this is not the same, but I'm going to go back to your question, is when I didn't have good boundaries when I first started doing this work. And instead of making an appointment, people go, hey, you want to go to dinner? And then whole thing would be around them asking me questions, me doing readings. And I'm like, okay, I gotta shift this.
I just came to eat.
I can be. And so I made the joke. I'm not here to read you, you know, unless there's money on the table. And I did that to create a boundary. So the same thing with anyone that is around someone that seems to dump on you or blame you or whatever, is letting people that know, I'm here to support you, but these are the guidelines. This is how we have to do it. Or we need a third party, or we need, you know, what is it that you can implement? And what I find a lot of times when you start putting some boundaries or say, I only have this amount of time or whatever, they go away.
If that's what their purpose is or intention.
If their intention is not to do some healing work and you start to create some of these, you know, new guidelines or things to put into place, they usually won't follow them because they don't want to do the internal work. Mm-hmm. You have, and you know, the person holding space probably has. And so they purge all this stuff on you and you're like, oh my God, I feel exhausted from this. Mm-hmm. But if you put some boundaries, that person then has to take some accountability and they're probably not wanting to take accountability.
Yeah.
And that's where you can, you know, kindly, do that. And people go, well, it's my so-and-so, it's my child or my parent or my spouse. It's like, you can still do that with them.
Yeah.
You can do it with love.
Well, that's it, with compassion. And that even goes back to, you know, anyone who's listened to the old podcasts, one of the first 10 that we did was,
your story.
You forced me into sharing my story.
I never forced you.
I'm so teasing.
Highly encouraged.
Highly encouraged. And, you know, that my childhood was, well, my big parts of my life were very, very challenging. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of the healing process, people judge. People mm-hmm. judge your healing. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like I have to have a relationship with those people. That's my boundary, is I don't want to have a relationship with those people.
That were the abusers.
That were the abusers, right. But I can still have compassion. Their lives aren't great. I know that the things that they did to me were because they were suffering. Mm-hmm. You know, and I can clearly see that and have compassion. I have no emotion around it anymore. Like, I can think about those situations and if I go deep into it, maybe there's emotion, but I have more compassion mm-hmm. for them. And I think that that's the shift, is mm-hmm. like, when you've done your healing work, you don't carry that anger, that You're not wearing it. You shed it. Yes, you shed it. And you let them live their life. Mm-hmm. And you have compassion. You allow them to do their own work. Mm-hmm. They have their own contract. Mm-hmm. This is just what happened. Mm-hmm. This is what they did. You know, and so it's interesting when you finally get to that point. And not that I know I have more healing to do.
What do we say now? You peel to heal, right?
Peel to heal.
Layers of the onion. We go, we peel to heal.
I think we need to, you know, trademark that.
I think so too. Peel to heal. And we won't talk about this today for forgiveness, but we have a whole different perception on forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that we have to remember that if you have people in your life that are toxic and you have to have a relationship with them or you don't have a choice, is to really create an energy where you're not taking all that on. And
you're not absorbing.
And I think, like, the Sherpa. Don't be carrying other people's stuff. The other part that goes with it, though, is it's okay to be human, meaning when we do get these things that show up where people are judging us or mm-hmm. telling us that we're doing it wrong or whatever that is, it's okay to be angry. Mm-hmm. We're human. And those experiences, I think, what I hear is like, well, can I be upset? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I certainly have my tools for my way to heal, right? When I get angry.
You are so vain.
So one of my songs I play from Carly Simon is You're So Vain. I play it around the house and Dana knows, you know, there's
something's gotten
under my skin and I'm processing. Yeah. And we have to feel, it's okay to feel anger. It's okay to feel all these different emotions. Absolutely. Yeah. But it's also realizing that when you are going through your work, your own personal work, are you trying to hurt somebody else along the way?
Yeah.
You know, we try to actually, and this is what happens too. We bring people in with our struggles, our pain, and people go, I've had the same thing. And we like to talk about that pain. And it likes to be like, yeah, me too. And it becomes really intense because people start building relationships on all their pain. Mm-hmm. You know, we look at all the pain. So how do we heal from that? So it's not our story. And the program solution is, you know, 1.0, you're pretty much allowed to tell your story, but I don't want it to be your identity. I don't want you to continue carrying that, but that is your only part of who you are. It's like, you're so much more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You help people shift their perception.
You have so much more for this planet and for the healing. And when you heal, you are then capable of showing others it is possible. And not that, and we hear this in hijacking. Well, if I can heal, you can heal. No. That's not how this goes. It's not a competition. Yeah. We all heal in our own way, in our own journey and path. And when you, one of the things I talk about too, and it's in my book, is about when you're on the airplane and they tell you if there's any emergencies that you put your mask on first and then you put on others. And I believe in that with life. When you heal from your trauma, from your pain, from your past, it shows other people that it's possible. And that's how you truly help somebody else heal.
Yeah. That's the ripple effect.
Peel till you heal. Thank you for joining us once again on Spirited Straight Talk. We have a lot of different podcasts that hopefully you'll continue to watch. And in the meantime, join our website called debshepherd.com and join our mailing list and all the other things that we have to offer. And namaste.